This episode of Behind the Video is brought to you by the Independent Media Network. The Independent Media Network helps journalists and content creators create their own jobs by building sustainable online businesses. If you're an unemployed or underemployed journalist or content creator, visit IMNCT.com for more information.
Hey everybody, it's Lon Sivan. We are back for Behind the Video. This is episode number 70. We've been doing this a long time, and doing this with me for a long time is Tim Street, who started growing his beard 70 episodes ago, and look at it now. It is like, it is just
lush. I feel old. I feel very old.
do you do this a lot? Sure.
Yes, I do. I walk around town all day just stroking my beard.
Must be neat to have something that can grow like that. Mine never.
There's our guest. We have a guest, Lon. Amber J. Lawson.
We do. Amber J. is here. Amber J. is the CEO and co-founder of Comedy Gives Back. It is happening on November 6th of this year, so it's coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks. And Amber, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it is that Comedy Gives Back does and what it benefits and why should people watch?
Cool. Thanks for having me on, guys. Comedy Gives Back is a social benefit enterprise, and our tentpole event is a 24-hour global live stream comedy event that leverages traditional talent and digital talent and their audiences to raise money for good, for a specific charity. And this year, our charity is Malaria No More, which was founded by Ray Chambers and, Peter Chernin. And so our 24-hour global event is November 6th. It's coming up very quickly. It starts at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then what happens is it's a digital telethon. So we have different groups of people coming in. It's all hosted out of What's Trending in Hollywood. So Shira Lazar and Damon Berger have opened up their studios and their bandwidth and their talent and their have become great partners of ours to host the entire 24-hour live stream from their studios. And the whole thing can be viewed on Daily Motion. So Daily Motion is our distribution partner, and then we have all sorts of partners who are embedding the live stream as well. So the idea is that we take over all the interwebs for 24 hours, and everybody embeds the live stream and is driving tune-in. So, you know, we have all sorts of partners from Variety, besides Daily Motion being our host, Variety, IFC, Earwolf, Comedy Bang Bang, Sideshow Network, My Damn Channel, you name it. They are partnering with us and using their unique talents to drive tune-in and raise donations for Malaria No More.
Wow. And this looks like it's a lot of work to plan throughout the year. So this is just not something that happens in November and you're done with it, right? This is something that you really need to work to build throughout the course of the year. How much time does it take to put all this together? And what kind of things do you have to think about in order to make all this work for 24 hours straight?
Well, the great news is I have two fabulous partners and co-founders, Zoe Friedman and Jody Lieberman. And Zoe Friedman, you may know her. Her dad founded the Improv, the first comedy club in America, and it's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. They're filming a special on Epix. There's a big documentary coming out. They really are the kind of godfathers of comedy, you know, of stand-up comedy. So she broke the careers of people like Dane Cook and Eddie Izzard and David Letterman. So she was the booker at David Letterman, and then she went over to Comedy Central. And so she launched the careers in some of the most iconic television shows from Comedy Central over the years. And then Jody Lieberman was at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival for 10 plus years and broke careers internationally and did international programming. So kind of the three of us coming together using our talents, and me being the digital person, you know, having run content at AOL and Babbelgum and Mania TV. We used all of our kind of collective talents for good. And so one books a lot. We all use our efforts together, but I'm the one who does the digital, the business. Jody does the production, and Zoe does the booking of the talents and content. And so together we're able to do this. Now, the overall vision is we have this tentpole event once a year, but then we will have additional events throughout the year. So we're looking at one for South by Southwest and one for Just for Laughs and so on and so forth. So it will be ongoing, but this will be our tentpole around the world in 24 hours, rally the troops. And the goal being that we raise the vibration of the planet through laughter, leveraging the interwebs and everybody and their audiences around the globe.
And so go ahead, Tim.
Amber J, when you're putting this together, are you also doing digital deals for the footage afterwards, or is it just right now focusing on the live event?
Actually, that's part of our deal with Daily Motion. So we're trying out in this iteration that we'll do the 24-hour live stream, and then the 5 stand-up shows will be pay-per-view 48 hours after the live stream. So if you look at it, the live stream happens really, if we're talking in Pacific time, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then we go to London to a live stand-up show in London. And then that piece will be taken out, and you'll be able to purchase that after the fact. And that's another way we're raising money for Malaria No More. Then we come back to what's trending for an hour. Then we go to New York, which is the opening night of New York Comedy Festival at Gotham Comedy Club. And we have the New York stand-up show, which has like Maria Bamford on it and Reggie Watts and Jim Brewer. And then we come back to what's trending for another hour, and then we go to the improv, the Hollywood Improv, where we are the rest of the night. And we'll probably do a podcast to kick off the night. And then we go into the 8 o'clock show, which is Marc Maron, Dane Cook, so many more, Jeff Ross. It goes on. And then we go to the 10 o'clock show, which is the Comedy Juice show, and that's Garfunkel & Oates and Eliza Schlesinger. And then we go to the Sideshow Network is doing their podcast, and then we're in Australia. Wow. So each of those stand-up shows will be taken out of the 24-hour live stream and then put in a pay-per-view window on Daily Motion to continue raising money for Malaria No More.
Do you sleep during this?
I don't know what. We have not figured out how we're going to sleep.
There's a lot of logistics here.
Go to sleep, you know, because we want to run everything. We do have a production team working, but I know. I don't know. We haven't figured that part out yet.
And can you speak to, because you're choosing Daily Motion as your streaming partner, and Daily Motion, is it a French company? Is that right?
Yeah, they are a French company, and they're the number 2, I believe, most trafficked video site out there, which I think is an underplayed known fact. That I think they do 20 million in the U.S., but 120 million globally uniques a month. Mm. And so they are a force to be reckoned with internationally. And I think they're making a real push in the U.S. to have a bigger presence.
Because
they've been around for a long
time. Right. And yeah. Tim and I, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about YouTube, and we really haven't, you know, talked about Daily Motion all that much, which was it. That's why I found it interesting that you chose them as the streaming partner for the event. But again, I think, you know, we often get a little too centric in one continent sometimes and forget that there's a lot of other pretty big players out there. And
I'll tell you the differentiator for us was because we entertained a lot of different platforms. And this year, why we chose Daily Motion is they were giving us the support not only in the live stream, but the pay-per-view after the fact, which I think is a unique offering, as well as promotion and a sales force.
Oh,
so,
really?
So, you know,
so more than just the streaming services. They're selling ads that will benefit the malaria group there, or how does that work?
Correct, exactly. So we have a revenue share across ads, and then, of course, they're promoting, which is the key piece of all this, right? We could have this amazing event with all of these people who are donating their time, all these celebrity online and traditional talents who are activating their audiences. But if nobody shows up, if Daily Motion, see, there's our ad right there.
Yep, right, front and center.
You know, if we were on another platform and they weren't, you know, kind of putting us front and center, I don't know if people would know about it. And, you know, would miss this opportunity. So the promotion was definitely a key factor in us deciding to go with Daily Motion. And I have to tell you, they have been a dream to work with. They are very attentive and are going above and beyond, really, our expectations. They've been really great partners.
That's great. You know, I Googled Comedy Gives Back, and saw a link to Daily Motion and went to the Daily Motion site, and I'm on Daily Motion, I'm looking around, and all of a sudden the ad pops up for Comedy Gives Back, and I'm like, okay, wait a second, did Amber J do a buy? What's, and I, like, I had to piece it together. Oh, wait, Daily, okay, and I, like, and I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. This is really cool to see it and be surprised by it.
So they have how they're set up, and it's very interesting for web series creators, because I do believe you can set up, you can become a partner at Daily Motion, and you can sell your content. And that's kind of their whole platform that they are that they're moving towards, is this you can kind of activate what you want, the price point you want, the things you want to sell, and drive your audience. So our URL is dailymotion.com/comedygivesback, and that's where all of our videos live, not unlike a YouTube page. But the difference is you can monetize them. You can put a price on them.
That's interesting. I'll have to check that out. You know, that actually brings up one of our stories this week, and that's that Chill laid off around 12 to 15 employees, which was virtually most of their staff. That was kind of shocking news, because at VidCon they had just announced that they were doing a movie, which was going to be a pay-per-view movie using Chill. And so now it looks like they're going to have to take that movie with Hannah Hart and Daily Grace and figure out where to sell it.
That could be a place to
do it. I had not heard that, and that's shocking news.
Yeah, pretty shocking news.
It's very interesting. So, and Amber J, what else do you, now you do some other stuff too. So you work with StoryTech as a managing partner of, and it's a brand technology consultancy. So what else do you do out there in this video world, and what are you seeing that people should be aware of? You know, Daily Motion is something that we really haven't given enough time to, so there's a great insight there. Anything else that people should be thinking about, especially, I guess, you know, for people that are trying to build something that, you know, maybe there's some other ways to get some attention in non-traditional ways. What are you seeing out there?
Well, it's interesting. So one of the biggest kind of tentpole events for StoryTech is we have a partnership with CES, and we announced the 2014 trends at our conference, which kicks off Tuesday morning of CES. So we do a half-day conference where we do either presentations, one-on-one interviews, or panels taking deep dives into the five trends that we're focusing on for 2014. So I think, A, that's a great way to kind of, if you are a company who wants to be on a cutting edge of technology, A, you need to know what's happening. And what differentiates StoryTech as a product offering is we then couple the conference with a contextually relevant tour of the CES showroom floor. So you as a business can not only, okay, so you're like, oh, look, here's the new shiny, cool thing that's happening this year at CES, but why does that matter to my business? How do I integrate it into my business? I think that's been kind of the missing link. specifically for me as a content creator, I've been going to CES for 100 years. Okay, maybe the past 5 to 7 years I've been going. That's not 100.
You definitely don't sleep, and you don't sleep while you're there, for sure, right?
No, not at all. but the difference is like, I went to CES, and I didn't know where to start. So, like, you know, I would go to conferences. That's what I know. I'd walk on the floor, and it would be intimidating. And then I would go to parties, which was fabulous. But it wasn't great for learning new technology and being able to integrate it into the business. And I think that's, you know, our partnership with StoryTech and CES, the goal is that folks like us, content creators, taking them into the technology and figuring out how it works in your business, how it enhances your business to expand and leverage these technologies, and connect with those people to actually do the business. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So it's not an idea, but it's actually actionable.
And let me ask you a question related to that, because the reason why I got all this junk behind me is I've been doing these little gadget reviews as a hobby, and now it's like starting to pay the bills a little bit. And I'm getting contacted now by a lot of brands to review their products. And, you know, there's no expectation of a good review and that kind of thing. But, you know, are you recommending that they go and find some of even channels that don't get a lot of traffic to put this stuff up just because it's so searchable? Is that something that you're recommending? So a great example is a major brand contacted me and said, "Hey, would you? You know, we want you to start reviewing our gadgets for your YouTube channel." I was kind of surprised to be reached out to by that company just because I'm not huge, you know, I'm not a big reviewer, but I'll get there eventually, right? But there seems to be a lot of large companies finding very small publishers to do these kinds of product reviews and that kind of thing. Is that, you know, is there a trend with this? Is this something you recommend that they do? Like, you know, what are you seeing out there? Because this seems very empowering, at least to the little guys like us, that that you can go out as a big brand, get recognized by big brands to do this kind of thing. I mean, where do you see that going?
Lon, I mean, to your point, you have a rabid fan base who you have curated a specific experience.
Did we use your house on fire? You can take a break here.
that your audience trusts you and they trust your point of view. And if you're going to tee up a specific offering, that they'll be more apt to purchase it. And as a brand, I'm going to go, as opposed to going wide with it, why not go to the specific
okay.
place where people actually are listening to someone who then will take it in and go purchase, right? They convert from just awareness to actually buying the product. And that's huge for them. So it's just a more effective use of their dollars to come see you. And good on you. You know, and that's exactly what, you know, web series, the opportunity. I can't pound that drum more. You know, build your audience. That's leverageable, because what it does is it converts to dollars. Brands start coming to you because of your audience. And that's a perfect example of how valuable it is. Let people come to you. Build that audience. Build that fan base. And receive the bountiful blessings
that provides.
So, Amber J, when you're putting together these tours, how does somebody participate in this? Where do they go to sign up? And what should they expect? Is this going to eat up a day, a couple of hours, 2 days? Who's it for, too?
Totally. So you can go to story-tech.com. and get more information about the tours, as well as going to CES, and you have to register before they give you access to the tours. But if you go to conferences or tours where the StoryTech Impact conference and tours, and it's really for storytellers, brands, entertainment companies, people who are into telling stories. I mean, story tech. I mean, our whole business is bridging the gap between storytellers and technology. So really, it's about who tells stories, brands and storytellers, showrunners, and web series creators. I mean, it's the perfect opportunity. And so the conference is a half-day conference. It's from 9 a.m. to noon, and the tours themselves are 2 hours long. So it's not going to eat up a lot of your time, but it's going to give you the basis for you to go and then explore further. It'll give you good kind of tent poles to structure the rest of your experience around.
Wow, that's a pretty good service given how big that show is.
When you do these tours, you have how many people in the tour, and are they wearing headsets? Because I know, you know, I've done tours on the floor, and ones that don't have headsets are, ooh, it's so hard to hear. There's so much noise.
Yeah, so exactly. So it's usually a group of about 10, plus or minus, you know, two. And we do use headsets. For that exact reason, it's just way too loud. You wouldn't hear half of the gems that come out of it if you weren't on headsets. So the groups are kept small, and so everybody can stay together in here and have the same experience.
Do you give them a big? You have a big flag and say we're walking, and then have like the vests, and the people on the tour have to have vests on, right?
No vests.
I was at the volcano in Hawaii, and there was this busload of people who had these yellow vests on. They could be spotted a mile away.
Are they afraid they're going to get lost in the volcano?
Yeah, exactly. And none of them spoke English, so like the tour guide had to keep track of everybody. It was hysterical. So, so on that note, we've got some news and. Joining us to deliver some of that news, starting with our breaking story, is Jason Perrier, our producer, who's calling in from Canada. And in Canada, they have really, really lousy internet, so Jason sometimes disappears. But he's back, so while we got him...
Here's the letters, Lon. Look out.
So what do we got, Jason? We got a breaking story from somebody we know, right?
Yes, White Collar Brawler was picked up by Esquire Channel. And Tim, would you like to share what White Collar Brawler is?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our friends, one of our pals, Kai Hassan, who has been a guest on the show, he works at Portal A. He started out doing a web series called White Collar Brawler. And White Collar Brawler was him and a buddy of his. And they were working in cubicles during the day, but at night they would do boxing. And they converted the show, this web series, where they would... train to beat the crap out of each other, and then eventually they had a live event that they sold tickets to and monetized, and somebody came along and optioned the idea of that web series, and now it's a TV show. So Kai's going to be making a creator credit or co-creator credit and get paid some stipend for creating the show, and it'll be on Esquire. So it's pretty exciting to have another web series going to TV and seeing a web series creator making some money in doing it.
Yeah, I would do it if I didn't have to get hit in the head.
Yeah.
I tried boxing once. Amber, have you ever tried boxing?
No, thank you.
Yeah,
that'd
it's
be
just
a good comedy thing, right? For raising money.
It would be funny to that could be, I don't know.
You could sell tour tickets at CES. The CES boxing tour.
Boxing tour. We'll give you a punch in the head on the way out. I tried boxing with my brother once, and it was the one shot to the head was enough for me. I said, you know what, my brains are too important here. So, but we do have some charts to look at this week too. So, Tim, we look and Amber J. We do this every week. We try to find like the gems on YouTube, and we used to do like the YouTube charts, like what's the most viral thing or whatever. And TubeFilter has this great thing where they look every week at all of the top YouTube channels. And what I decided to do this week, because it rarely changes, is to look at the top five non-affiliated channels that don't have networks attached to them. Because,
interesting.
Right? Because there's so much out there that has all these multi-channel networks going, and I think there's some examples of people who've actually been able to do pretty well on their own. So here is a few of the more interesting ones. Number five, and this is not even a original content thing. This is more like a America's Funniest Videos kind of arrangement here. But number five is Fail Army, and they had quite a good run this week. Several million views this week. Unfortunately, I didn't actually write down the number for everything else, but they just go out and grab videos, apparently from other people, of horrible fails. So cars flipping over, people jumping off of roofs into pools and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a train wreck, and people like that. So number four was the NBA, which, you know, is to be expected. A lot of highlights, and I think, Amber, that's probably a great example of a brand using so much value that they have in the content that they own, right? They just put some highlights up and collect a couple million views in advertising revenue with that, right?
Absolutely. They've actually been looking to expand their online presence and building out a network, a whole... I mean, sports are really taking this platform on and expanding their brands.
And they should, right? Because they own the content. They remind us when we're watching live. Like, retransmission will send you to jail. So now they can monetize some of that extra stuff.
Yeah, but that was always the concern, right? That you couldn't rebroadcast sports because once it was done, it was done. You know, that was the issue with live. But as you see, I mean, even Comedy Gives Back is a perfect example of that. It's live, and then you're taking the chunk of it that you can then repurpose and remonetize. So, I mean, they're really leveraging the content, what you thought was just a one-time thing, and ESPN2, classic games, you know, there's tons of opportunity for that content.
Especially with
the thing with live is that, you know, live is about information, and once that information is done, it's done. But if the content has emotional value to it, then it has replay value. And a lot of times sports, you know, especially where there's some kind of spectacle, where there's some super catch or something like that, that has great emotional value, not just the spectacle.
And one thing that has come in, I'm going to skip three because three and one are related. Number two is Riot Games. They make this game called League of Legends. As we know, gaming is huge on YouTube, and these guys own this League of Legends multiplayer online game. Look at this one, 22 million views for their cinematic trailer of something. This week alone, they collected 19 million views and 80,000 subscribers. So they have a huge base of people that are paying them $15 a month or whatever for the game, and they're all watching this stuff on YouTube, but they're not monetizing it. How about that? So they're just putting this video out for free and not collecting any money on it.
Hey, if you had that many people paying you $15, you know...
Yeah,
you
think
away some videos too, right?
Why not, right? And it's amazing. That's been amazing, just the whole gaming thing, just because people spend so much time watching. And actually, what's been interesting about, I watched some of the videos on there, they're more instructional too. They have some, you know, entertaining kind of things, but mostly, you know, how to get the most out of the game with some of the top players there. So it's amazing. You could start a business in one of these things and make a lot of fake money, or you could really start a business and make a lot of real money, but that goes without saying. Number three and one, I'm putting these two together because we've talked about this one before, which is the Disney Collector. And the Disney Collector, she just, we've done this before, but she basically takes Disney toys, buys them at the store, opens up the package, and just kind of shows what's in the package. So she sticks to Disney, so just like Lou Mangiello sticks to Disney World, she sticks to Disney toys, and this is all it is. It's just like her, you know, you don't even see her. She does a little voiceover, and she puts the toys together and that kind of thing. So that is number one on our list. She had 31 million views, but there's this other guy called Blue Collection, and he's doing the same thing, just with other stuff. So he's doing the Angry Birds. What's funny is both he and her both reviewed this Angry Birds toy this week, so... and he is not as successful as her yet, but he's got 12 million views this week of his toy
Amazing.
Reviews. So, I mean, it's just incredible. And apparently little kids are watching this stuff because they want to see what's in the box before they spend their allowance on something. So between them, 40 million views on these toys this week.
Amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So... that is wild. So, Jason, we have something that happened with Breaking Bad this week, a little controversy.
I think we lost Jason.
Oh, we lost him to those Canadians.
Yep, Canadian.
They did it again. By the way, if you have questions for Amber J as we're going through the show, you can ask on our channel here. And we have a couple questions, none of them relevant yet. One, Julie Dubois wants to know if we feel good. I feel good. Tim?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Amber, how are you feeling?
I feel awesome.
Great. So I hope you answered your question, Julie. Thanks for asking. Somebody from somewhere in the Middle East asked how to install Windows 8.1. We can't help you there. There's another show for that. Alistair Jeffs, you know, we need to work on the backstage chat again. He's asking if there's any way we can do the backstage chat. We think this question thing might be the way to do it, but it's hard for people to interact with each other. We're hoping Google will give us some more options on that. But if you go to our behind the video community and you click on the event, we have a little chat in there so you can follow up with us on that as we go. So that's that. Now, with Breaking Bad, so what happened there was, you know, we had those people put in the obituary in the paper, their local paper, for Walter White, who was the fictional star of that show, and a local community
group. Please don't tell me the ending. I'm only on season 3.
Okay, well, okay, I won't. I'll try to do this without giving away anything. So somebody in the show, there's a lot of people die in the show, okay? So somebody in the show is going to die. somebody in the show is going to die at some point along the way. And when that happens, there will be a group in Albuquerque that wanted to raise some money, and they took an obituary that some fans put in the paper to the next level and actually held a funeral. And it's kind of backfiring on them in a couple of ways. One, and probably the most obvious, is that when Sony caught wind of this thing, they shut it down because they were concerned that this might impede their copyright. Because they were going to YouTube, they were live streaming this on YouTube. And they were having like a whole funeral and everything else. And here it is. They actually bought, I kid you not, they bought a grave plot. Like they bought one and put a little fake urn in there, and people are burying this character that died in the show.
Nice.
Isn't that awesome?
That's great.
Complete with the headstone, the whole nine yards. So YouTube shut them down, and then, and this is, here's the legit gripe beyond the copyright issue. People who are buried at this cemetery have families who are really ticked off that this is going to become like this tourist thing, that people are going to come to the cemetery, you know, which is really for honoring the people that have really died, and will start to destroy the place, or at least make it more difficult for them to grieve privately. And I think that's probably a legitimate thing. So it's the law of unintended consequences.
That's so, right.
So Amber J., hopefully I didn't give anything away there.
There are a lot of things that are spawning. The Los Angeles County Los Angeles County High School for the Arts, LOXA, they did a 64-hour film festival last week. And the students have 64 hours to find out what their genre is and a line of dialogue, a prop, different things like that. And they have to use all those elements and make a film from start to finish in 64 hours. And one of the genres assigned was sequel to Breaking Bad.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, they did a great job. Really,
That's
really
cool.
Talented kids there.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to Better Call Saul, which will be the spinoff show there. So, and some other news, just really briefly, Awesomeness is going to relaunch a 17 YouTube channels. And these are targeted to teens. Amber J., that's probably a good thing to do on YouTube, right? Teen programming?
Girl, teens, fashion, and makeup. Hello.
That's it, right? That's where it's at?
All time.
And it's that whole haul thing, right? You go shopping and you show people what you bought, and you just collect the views and go out and buy more stuff with the revenue, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. All right, quickly though, we're going to go to movies because we're running out of time. Wow, tell you what, the whole Hollywood must be in like total disarray right now because the movies that should have done well are not. So, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is still there after weeks, $92.7 million cum overall, $9 million this weekend. Escape Plan, $9.5 million on its first week. Carrie, which is like the big Halloween movie of the year, number three, $15.5 million. Captain Phillips is not able to break out of number two at $15.7 million. And Gravity is on again in the number one spot after 3 weeks. Did anyone expect this movie to do this well?
No, I don't think so.
So it's doing
great. You have two huge heavy hitters, and this is, I have to tell you, everybody is who are super critical movie watchers love this movie. And as far as I can tell, it's a lot of breathing, and it looks totally claustrophobic. I have not gone and seen it yet, and it looks terrifying to me.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I haven't seen it yet, but I am really looking forward. I am... I'm a huge space geek, and Tim has heard me talk about this a million times, but for some of the local content that I do here in Connecticut, we got press passes to go cover NASA, and we got a tour inside Space Shuttle Discovery, and it is tiny. It is awesome, by the way, but it is tiny as hell, and there's seven people crammed into this thing. So claustrophobia is like, that's the nature of the business, and it's pretty crazy. And even like this... Sorry, go ahead.
I went and saw the WikiLeaks movie on Friday.
Oh, and how was that? Because now that's been really disappointing. That was like number 7 on the top 10 this week, so it didn't do as well as they thought. What'd you think?
I have to tell you, I thought it was, it's fascinating. I mean, like, I like documentaries, and from like that perspective, I thought it was fascinating to kind of know how it all came about and how small it was, really.
Yeah.
And how they were able to project such a big kind of vision and how a human's ego can corrupt an entire, but it's that ego that pushed you there. The only thing, and it was very exciting, jetting all around the world and all of this coming together. But I have to say, it probably went on 20 minutes too long because I got bored at the end. And I think that's what's, maybe America does, like it's like a spy thriller is how it's, is the movie, and I don't know if does America get WikiLeaks? Like the
I don't think so.
I don't know if they do. I think it's more of our community.
I think you're right. Yeah. And you know what's interesting is that I've been covering some of this NSA stuff for our local thing here, and you know it doesn't get the readership that an iPhone would get. You know what I mean? Like it's just not like people just assume this is all happening and just don't care, and it's kind of disappointing. Actually,
when it comes to politics, people have been conditioned not to care, not to pay attention, to think that they don't matter, and that's been good for the people that control things because they don't have the general public getting in their way.
That is very true. And moving along those lines, before we close out, and I want to make sure we don't take too much time here, Netflix is coming after your cable box. Apparently Netflix is in the running to get on cable systems, and I think there might be some good synergies there, mainly because if Netflix can provide its services to cable companies in a less expensive way than every channel does to them, because they get beat up by having to pay for per subscriber fees on top of providing all the infrastructure for these channels. That might be a way to go. And a follow-up question that Alistar is asking in our chat room here is any significance of Netflix commissioning Sony to make a show for them? So, you know, they're really becoming like an HBO, right? They're going after big studio houses and they're trying to get on your cable box. Tim, what do you think is happening here?
Well, they have to take a look at the whole market and see what are different ways that they can monetize. They did have a fight with Hollywood in the recent years where they kind of got cut off from programming, so they've created their own with like House of Cards and other things that they've done. And they have to look at every revenue stream out there. And I think Hulu is following suit, and they're going to do the same thing. So Netflix is really a leader in this community, and I think there's somebody to pay attention to on a lot of levels. It seems like their stiffest competition is HBO Go. If HBO Go makes it so that you don't need a cable subscription, that's going to be huge. But if Netflix does get I always want to say MSOs, but it's MVPDs is the new phrase now. If they get them on board, it's really going to be competition for HBO Go. I mean, I think for a lot of people, if it wasn't for live events, they wouldn't have cable at all. They'd get everything that they want off the internet.
Right. I've been watching, by the way, The Newsroom, Tim. Oh,
yeah,
great.
Love The Newsroom.
I just started watching it. I had HBO Go for a while. I haven't even used it yet until this past week.
It's great.
So. Loving it. Loving every minute of it. It's fantastic. So, well, I don't want to make the show go on for too long, so we're going to wrap up with our tip of the week. And this is usually I do like a gadget tip. This time it's going to be something different. And this is a little plug, too, at the same time. So I'm going to kill two birds with one stone. We have
two laptops.
Have two laptops and a phone and too much crap to push buttons for. It's amazing I can even think after I do this show. In Connecticut, we have this little, actually starting to become a big thing. It's called Reset, which is a social enterprise trust. And This past week, we were just awarded a grant from this group for some of the local content that we're doing. We've been helping out local journalists who've lost their jobs, launched their own publications, and we've applied for a contest that they were running and got a grant to help continue that mission, which has been great. And this is something that is probably out in just about every state, both here in the United States and probably other cities across the world, that there's a lot of groups that are looking for social enterprises, things just like what Amber Jay is doing to build a business around a charity event or around helping people or doing something that has, of course, a motive to make money, but also a motive to bring about some positive changes. And there's a lot of people willing to help you in those missions because venture capital is often few and far between in some of these kinds of efforts because there isn't a $100 billion potential with it to make a good return on it. So just a note to like go out and look for some of these things, get involved with the community in your area and see what might be there to help you along the way. Is that something you've seen out there, Amber, like a movement in the social enterprise front? Because I've been hearing more and more about it lately.
Well, I love to hear that there are contests because we would love to be a part of those. But social benefit enterprise is a huge movement. It's very it's a very millennial way of thinking of doing business where you can build a profitable business. I mean, it's really shifting that whole mentality of nonprofit to profit for good. Profit that is improving the planet in one way, shape, or form. And they've institutionalized this with the B Corp, which is a benefit corporation.
Right.
And that's a big movement that these type of enterprises, we're in the process of becoming a B Corp, and it's a very big movement out here in LA to have companies that are for profit but that are doing good. And at the core of the company, that is their mission.
I think there's going to be some work to be done, too, because while you can register federally for a B Corp, in Connecticut you cannot. So there's like a little bit of a dichotomy there that they're going to have to work out. Is there special tax rates for B Corps?
You know, I don't know if that's in place quite yet, but the idea, I think it's a mind shift for people to think that charity for us has been, oh, you have to struggle. Charities aren't flush with cash, or they're not, you have to struggle. And I think this is a mind shift of abundance, and that everything can flow and it can be abundant and prosperous while doing good. And so for me, what B Corp does is it validates that, yes, this is a company that's for profit, but it actually has been vetted, and that it is a company that is using its resources and or its core or its mission is improving whatever kind of vertical its mission is. Mm. And so I think that the tax breaks are coming, and I'm sure there are, it depends on kind of what industry you're in as to what that means.
Right. Well, that's something exciting for people to keep in mind, especially if they have a social benefit minded idea that this might be something to really get into the ground floor on. So good luck with what you're doing. Amber, where can people find you and everything you're doing?
Well, follow me on Twitter, Amber J. Lawson on Twitter. And also, Comedy Gives Back, November 6th. Tune in at 7 a.m. Pacific time on Daily Motion. And see us at CES for StoryTech, the conference Impact.
All right, got a lot going on. You're gonna need a vacation after all this is over with.
So. I really am. I'm gonna be in Miami for Nappy.
Perfect. Yeah.
Tim, where can people find?
Oh, sorry, go ahead. If anybody out there, if you see on Twitter, Comedy Gives Back, anything, retweet it. Just help out with a retweet. Doesn't cost you anything.
Thank you very much.
Definitely do that and tune in. Tim, where can people find you?
At One Tim Street on Twitter or .com, either place.
That is the gateway to Tim and his beard. So you can, if my daughter ever meets you, Tim, she's going to want to grab that beard. So
yeah, you better keep her away from me.
And you can find me at lonseidman.com, L-O-N-S-E-I-D-M-A-N, and that's also the same spelling on my Twitter account. And we are at behindthevideo.com. That links you to our Google Plus community. And if you sign up there, you'll get notified whenever there's a new show. And you can tune in live there. You can find us on YouTube and on Stitcher and on iTunes. So if you want to take us in your car, you can do that as well. Just keep your
subscribe.
Eyes on the road. And subscribe. Just hit that button everywhere you see it, because we need to continue building our audience. We work hard to provide this service for you. We need to have more eyeballs on it. So that will do it for this edition of Behind the Video. We are a wrap.
Stories for this episode were compiled by producer Jason Perrier. Follow him on Twitter at JASONPERRIER. Behind the Video is a production of Ape Digital Incorporated and the Independent Media Network, LLC. All rights reserved.